national cricket team. So we just want to give you a hand and congratulate you. We just want to honor you, and I believe it's a big privilege. And I just felt in my heart that we want to pray for Doug. And as we were worshiping, and I'll pray it as well, Doug, I just had that picture of the blacksmith. You know, that when he makes swords or spears or stuff, that he's got something in his hands that he molds. And I really trust that this will be a wonderful season for you, for your family in Namibia, and that it will be a blessing. So from our side as the church, I don't know if there's anyone. I see mostly girls. I don't know, do we have a girl cricket team here in Namibia? I'm not sure about that. But we from the church's side, I just feel that we need to pray for you for blessing and favor, and specifically for protection. So me and Reinald, we just want to pray for Doug this morning and for his family. Yes, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you are good God, Lord. And we want to thank you this morning for Doug, Lord God, and his family, Lord, where he's the husband, Lord, that you'll bless him and that you'll provide for them, Lord, and that your hand will be with them, Lord God, that the wind will be in their sails, Lord, and you'll give them favor, Lord God. And Father, thank you that I know this is a family, Lord God, that looks to you, Lord God, that they follow where you lead, Lord God. And yes, as the king and the priest and the prophet of their house, Lord God, that he will walk in that, Lord God. And Father, he's been selected to coach the Namibian cricket team, Lord. I want to hold him before you and bring him before you, Lord, and pray the blood of Jesus Christ over him, Lord God, that you will protect, Lord God. Thank you that you raised him up and that you formed him and trained him, Lord God, to be a coach, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that he can be a blacksmith, Lord God, in that area, Lord God, that you will send vessels into his hand, Lord God, that he can form and coach and train, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that this team of ours, Lord, the cricket team, Lord, that it can go from glory to glory and strength to strength, Lord God. And Father, this morning specifically, Lord, I want to pray, Lord God, for protection over their family, Lord God, that there will be no slander against them, Lord God, no false reports, Lord God, no backstabbing, anything like that. We just stand against that in agreement and unity in the Spirit, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you'll give him strategy, Lord God, that thou can be ahead, Lord God, of other guys, Lord God, because he looks to you, Lord God, for his help, Lord God, and that you will show him where there's pitfalls, Lord God, or where things aren't right, Lord God, and Lord God, what he's going to do, Lord God, that he can do it for your glory, Lord God, that this can be a testimony of a Christian man coaching, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, I also pray, Lord, that the team, the people he's coaching and training, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they can look to his godly character, Lord God, and Lord, that in a sense, to especially the young men, Lord God, that he can also be a father, Lord God, that he can see Jesus in him, Lord God, and yes, Lord God, that they can see Christ, Lord, and that he can be a light there, Lord God. And we just thank you for this opportunity that he has in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we just honor Doug, Father, for the effort and the time that he's put into, Father, and just his preparation, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the ground that you've already prepared, Father, that you've laid before him, Father, for the blessing that he's received from you, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you gird up his legs, Father. You give him the strength, Father, to rise above every situation, Lord God. That you give him purpose and destiny, Father, not only on the cricket field, but off the field as well, Father. That people can look to his character and just see, Father, there's something special about him, Lord. And it's something they want to emulate, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, that he's not just a trainer of athletes, but he's a trainer of men as well, Lord God. He's able to prepare them for life as well, not only for the sport, but God, that there's something more, Lord, that there's something more that they must pertain to. They might be good sportsmen, Lord, but they need to be men, Father, that live with honor and integrity, Lord God. We just pray, Father, that you will prepare Doug's heart, Lord, as the coach and as leader, Father, that he's able to take on the challenges that come to him, Father. That he just has your guidance, Father, and just that you will even prepare him beforehand, Father, when situations arrive, Lord. He's already aware of it, Lord God, and he's taking steps to prevent it from happening, Father. That you just show him, Father, in his heart and his mind as he sleeps and he dreams, Father, that everything that you've prepared for him, Lord, he's able to receive, Lord, and use, Lord, just to the fullness of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, I must just say apologies that I didn't call Tracy, but she's such a godly lady, so she just followed her husband. That's a good thing. All the young people, you should just look and see and do. Amen. This morning, we had a baby dedication in the previous church service, and that's always a blessing always nice to do a baby dedication, and especially when it's people going for the second round. So Ernst Kruger, that's one of our elders. It was their little son, Ian Kruger. It was his baby dedication some morning. For those of you who unfortunately missed it, it happened in the first church service. But just to inform you, and that's always very special. But for you guys, just from my side, I know, as Paul Botha has said, it's about 2 weeks. And you guys really have to grind now and work hard for this last part of the year as you're writing exams. And we will think of you and pray for you and trust that you can be focused and that you can work hard and that your marks and things at the end of the year will be good. So blessings for that as well. I just want to recap a little bit. Just, you know, as when we raised a few hands and asked who's still going to be here in about a month time or now 2 or 3 weeks, then the schools are closing. And in December, Windhoek, in a sense, are running dry. Most people are going away. And as we said, it's the 16th of December will be our last church service. So I guess it's just good to just look a little bit back on this year. And I believe this has really been a big year for us, where we moved from our previous venue there at Bahnhofstrasse, came here to Suiderhof, which is really a blessing, and it's really good to be here. But it always come with a lot of hard work. And I wanna start off by saying thank you to many, many of you guys. Church doesn't just happen here from the pulpit. There's a lot of hard work that happens for everything to look like this. I'm not going to lie and say me and Reinald did all the flowers and all the things last night. We didn't do it. It was it was one of the primary schools, or they had a closing, or the pre-primary schools. So we inherited a few beautiful flowers, and you would see there also, where we come in, there was also a few things that really make us think we're in spring. But you know, we're in summer and it's really hot. I don't know how the cricketers make it all the time. It's really hot. I don't know if Namibia are really suitable for playing cricket. The sun is so hot. But anyway. Yeah, so I'm looking back on a year that we really had to work hard. I believe we got a lot in place in terms of ministries, ministry leaders, where we could really run an almost like a skeleton staff at the old church. You know, now we need a lot more hands to make things happen, to make things work. And as I said, I just want to say a big thank you for everyone over this year that has participated and have yoked with us. I really believe it was worth the while, and something that we are now a stronger and a healthier church, because we can't sit back and just see how 2 or 3 people do everything. We need to have teams, and especially the way that the small groups got involved, that was a big plus. And you know, also we had a lot of, quite a few, I think we had about 11 preachers from the outside, from other Shofar churches that has been preaching or ministering here. We had Abu Saad from Jordan Abu Saad from Jordan that was preaching here. And I look back on a year of many highlights and many great things. People being baptized, people coming into the family. That was really good. But what I want to share a little bit on this morning is what I believe the Lord is telling to us in our time of intercession, which is Tuesday mornings at 6 o'clock in my house at Olympia. You're most welcome to come and join us. And I think we've been sensing it now for a while. And I really believe it fits in with the progress or what happened with us as a church over the past year. Now, just to start off with, you know, like yesterday, it was really hot. It was scorching hot. Okay. Now, last Sunday, the 4th of November, at my house, I had 6 millimeters of rain. And that was wonderful. Did you guys also have a bit of rain last week, Sunday? Any one of you guys? It was really nice. Now, 6 millimeters of rain is actually nothing. Okay, if I were to tell that to someone overseas, like the guys in America that just had a massive storm a week or two ago, or if I were to tell it to the people in the Western Cape in South Africa that for about 7 months had rain nonstop, it doesn't sound very impressive, you know. But the thing is, for us, I remember on the 27th of March, we had our last rain. That was 2 days after my dad's birthday, and I had about 61 millimeters of rain at my house. Okay, now you might think, now where are the pastor going again this morning? But bottom line is, we can all appreciate it. Last Sunday, I mean, we had that anticipation of rain that was building up, and then it rained. It was really nice. And even though it was just a little bit, just smelling rain, just feeling things cooling down a bit, it was really awesome. So that's the same thing like this glass of water here. Maybe the glass with the water inside is worth $10. I'm not sure what this glass cost, but maybe it's not worth a lot. But for someone that's dying of thirst, let's say in a desert, that means this glass of water is more worth than silver or gold. And the point I want to make in a sense is, when we have certain things in abundance, then we don't always appreciate it because we're used to it. But if you haven't had for about 7 months rain and you get a little bit, it's wow, it's nice. And I'm sure us in Namibia, especially this time of the year, when it rains, we can really appreciate it. It's really nice. Now, what I want to start off with is just looking a little bit at Scripture and to just give you a little bit of background. Because since the beginning of time, everything, there has been dispensations. There has been certain times where things were different than the ages before. And you know, the time we're living in, Scripture says, it will also come to an end. Amen? It's going to come to an end. It's not going to last forever, the way I understand the Word of God. Now, I want to start off with a little bit. The most of the people that we see as the writers in the New Testament, okay, they are people that grew up in a time that I called Second Temple Judaism. Okay, now that was between the reconstruction of the temple about 500 years before the birth of Christ, and then the second destruction of the temple about 70 years after the birth of Christ. That period was called Second Temple Judaism, the time between those two temples. And most people that grew up in the New Testament or were those writers, they came from this time. Okay. And when we talk to our parents, they will tell us there has been times have been different in this country and in many places in the world, things have changed. And in Scripture, we also see things have changed. Now, when we go and look at the Old Testament and we go to the book of Malachi, then we will see that's the last book that was written in the Old Testament. That's about roughly 450 years before we open up and we read the Gospels in Mark and Luke, Matthew, and John. Okay, so but there was a time, you know, what happened is the Israelites, the nation of Israelites, they lost a lot of land. They lost a lot of political strength, of economic value, things like that, when they were captivated and they went to from the Babylonians. Okay, so what happened there? It was a sad time in their history, and then it was also a very silent time, you know, because from the time of Malachi to the book of, say, Matthew, that's round about 400 years. And many times they refer to it as the silent years because there were no new books added in Scripture. And you know, no discovery today, no matter what anyone says, there won't be books added between Malachi and Matthew. Your Bible will still look the same, I believe, till Jesus come back. Okay? Because Scripture is finalized the way we have it right now. But that was called the silent years. There was no inspired writers. That's why no books were added. There were no prophecy. And things were really quiet. So I almost want to say it's like the past 7 months that has been really dry, really hot. Okay? And then something started to change. Because we know if we read the Gospels, we see there's a time of abundance. There's a time of good things happen, of happening. So what happened there? I've used the example before, but if I were to tell you today, listen, in 45 minutes time, we're going to have 72.5 millimeters of rain. And if that happens exactly like that, then you might think I might be a prophet or someone that really can clearly hear from God. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I guess. But the bottom line is where we stand and where many people were standing in that Old Testament time. They were reading Scripture just like us. They were studying it. And then they were seeing certain things that were prophesied were happening. It was coming to pass. And just, I'm not saying it's going to rain in 45 minutes or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just using it as an example. But the nice thing is when you see something like that in Scripture, say in the Old Testament, a prophecy, and you see it happening in the New Testament time, you know, then you know it was from God. It was inspired. It is to me, it's awesome. Now, this dispensation started to change, firstly with John the Baptist that was prophesied in Malachi, and then also Jesus Christ that came. So you can read with me. Let's read there from Luke 7, verse 24. When John's messages had gone, Jesus began to speak to them. Let's start again. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in a king's courts. And then the second slide. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I sent my messenger before your face, who will prepare you your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now there we see something. John came from this time. Something was prophesied over his life, and then John came. And then the important thing, Jesus here is speaking and he's saying, of those born of women, there was none greater than John. So he really raises John up and says, he was a great man. But then he goes on and he says that anyone that's in the kingdom of God, that means a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, okay, is even greater than John. Okay, so he's now announcing and he's saying, listen, there's a better time. Something, John was great, but even those of you who, if I can almost say it, just make it. It's like when you need 50% to pass the exam and you get 51%, I guess you make it just by the skin of your teeth, or how do they say? Okay, now even if you are just into the kingdom, just a little bit, you are greater than John, because being born and saved are better than anything before that. So this is something new that is happening here, something that has been prophesied of. Now, if we go and say, just look a little bit to the life of John the Baptist, because you have to bear with me here this morning. I'm going to tell you what's on my heart and what I believe the Lord are telling us through intercession, what he's showing to us as a church. But I just want you to show what we actually have and where it fits in, because to me that's important. So who was John the Baptist? We see his father Zechariah's spirit-filled words here in Luke 1, verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Okay, so we know John was sent out first. We had those silent times, those 400 years that there was been a few, the Maccabean revolt, and Alexander the Great, he conquered many nations, and there's movies made about that you can go and have a look at. But then it wasn't a very spiritual time, if I can call it like that. And then we see here, with the start of John the Baptist, his ministry. That his name actually tells us what he did. He told the people to repent and he baptized them. But it wasn't Jesus Christ's ministry yet. It was something before that. And scripture said he was just preparing the way for Jesus to come. Okay? That is like yesterday, certain people had brooms and they cleaned here and set up the instruments and made all the nice coffee and the juice that were drank during the tea time, and things were set up and they prepared a way for us to have church today. You see that the praise and worship team can function and that we can do what we do on a Sunday here in church. Let me read to you from Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord. Once again, as it has been prophesied, we know for a fact that John the Baptist lived, and we know about his ministry and what he did. And there it's just confirmed. So, just what did John exactly do? Just let's have a look here. In Luke 3, verse 3, what John was doing. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Okay, so that's just what John was doing. You were preparing the way, you were ministering there. And then here in Luke 16, just a few verses further on, we will see exactly what his words were and the sequence of what was happening. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay? So people, their sins were already forgiven. They became disciples of John. Okay? That's already a good step forward, because he was like a type of a prophet. And the prophets always called people back to the Lord and said, leave the sinful things, leave all the idolatry, come to God, come to Christ. In this sense, not come to Christ, but he was preparing that way. Okay? But he says, this is what I'm doing, but the one that's coming after me, Jesus Christ, he's going to do bigger things. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, you're actually supposed to be very excited about that. You know why? Because it's not meant just, it's not just for those days. It's for us right now. We still baptize people. We still see people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a baptism last week, and it was awesome. It was great. Some people can testify on that. Monday at 5:30 at my house, we're going to baptize someone from the Afrikaans service. The previous week, after Foundation 1, we had a testimony of a lady that we prayed for, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and we saw she received the tongues, and she started praying in tongues. And that's awesome. And some people will tell us, no, but these things were only for back then. But friends, it's for us, for here, for right now. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us, listen, this is going to end sometime, okay, and it's not for us here, 2,000 years later. It's all the way for us. And it's important to see that there was a certain time, those silent times, where it was quiet. Then John the Baptist came, and he started preaching something, and he told the people to repent, and they got baptized. And then Jesus Christ came with a bigger, better message even. Okay, people got born again, they got saved, they got spirit-filled, and we see all the amazing things that were happening there in that time. Now, just something I want to show you in Acts 19 from verse 1. Acts 19, verse 1. Okay, I've got it there from verse 2, but let me read it to you just from verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Okay? So here you get a few people, they call them disciples. Okay, so they were disciples of John, but they weren't born again spiritful Christians yet. Okay, and here we see very clearly the distinction between the two things, and almost I want to say the progression, because then Paul, obviously these people, they had to hear the message of John, and then they moved away, and then they didn't hear the message of Jesus Christ. So Paul was traveling, and he was finding them there, and then obviously they had a conversation, and Paul, as we know, Paul, he was preaching to them, and then he said to them, no, listen, let's lay hands on you that you can get spirit-filled. And then we see here in verse 6 that he did lay hands on him, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And this is exactly what's happening here to us still in the time we're living in. Okay, and this time, it started sometime, and that's when Jesus came. And this time is going to end sometime, and that's when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his bride, he's coming back for us. And the wonderful thing is, I know in my heart, you know, that just in our natural, you know, we can't really reach the nations. We can't reach people, and we can't really strongly minister to them. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. And this is what the book of Acts is all about. Now, I want to share with you, and I really feel on my heart that this year, and that's why I was just recapping a little bit. We did a lot of, in a sense, looking to the inside. We had so much things. You can ask those who were involved. There was so much work to be done just to get church working, in a sense, do all the setup, the sit down, a lot of administration. And I won't say our focus were primarily on outside, on what's happening in Namibia. Okay? But I really sense in my heart, and we sensed it in intercession, that I just felt, and I shared it the previous week at Foundation One with the people, and I just said to them, I just sense there, you know, the Lord wants us to move more to life in Acts, if I can put it that way. More a leading of the Spirit. Okay? And I believe there's more things in place right now for us for the rest of the year and next year to not to look too much inside, but to the outside, to move away, to live like the people in Acts. Most, about a third of the book of Acts is either Paul or Peter or Stephen preaching. A lot of it is actually their sermons and their preaching, and a lot of it are about their missionary journeys that they went on and what happened there, and giving us feedback. And I just sense, if you were asking me right now, what are we going to focus on? Is it family, or is it prayer, or is it discipleship? And I will say, yes, all of those things as well. Yes, we want to be a family. Yes, we can do nothing without proper prayer and intercession. Yes, in discipleship and the leadership development are important. But I sense that the Holy Spirit is almost like luring us. You know, if you are catching fish and you're casting your rod, and then if certain type of fishing, you leave your bait there, and then you sit and sleep in your chair until hopefully a fish bites the hook and you catch it. Or there's a different type where you cast it in and then you bring it back, like when you catching bass. Anyone with me? Few fishermen, I see a few people, okay? And I just sense that the Lord is just telling us, and he's just saying, come closer to life in Acts. Come closer to living this way. Come closer to being totally Spirit-filled and living in this way. And I believe it's really exciting, because we already, last week, me and Jaco van Rooyen of Shelf of Swak op Munt, we had our meeting and we fixed the dates. We want to go to at least 3 missions next year. We want to go 1 to the south of Namibia, 1 to the north of Namibia, and then an international mission where we can either go to Angola again or Botswana, or we need to pray and we need to see where we need to go to. I was so, in a sense, astonished and impressed and excited, you know, because when I joined Shofar about 10 years ago, I remember we were 3 churches. And then now going to the summit a month or two ago, I think we're now about 35 churches. I know there's been growth. And then when we had that missions feedback of Pastor Sias 3 or 4 months ago, did you remember those morning with all the stats, the DVD that we showed? I think from our Shofar congregations, we went to about 42 nations, okay? And that's not to you're saying 43? 42, okay, you're just saying amen. And that's really, that's not about us or what we are doing, but what God is doing through us. And I mean, you know, there's still so much hard work. There's so much people that we need to reach all around us in the city. And the thing is, friends, there's 2 things happening. At the one time, you know, things around us are getting darker. Things are getting more problematic. If you read the newspapers, especially in South Africa, there's so much violence, there's so much bad things happening here in Windhoek, we can see it, and it's just like if it's a runaway train, it's just going, becoming worse and worse every year. But on the other side, you know, I also believe, and I see it in Scripture, that God is raising up His church of the end times, okay? Because we live in what is called the end times. That started when Jesus came back, and it will end when He comes back again. And we know that He will raise up His church and that He will really empower us to be witnesses and to go and to share the gospel with all around us. Because God's heart, what is His heart? It's for all people to be saved. He says, everyone, there's not a nation or a group or a country in this world that God says, no, don't, let's leave them, rather focus on this or these guys. His heart is for everyone to be saved. Okay? Now, who should do it? Should do it? Is it just me and 1 or 2 of you? No, we are all called to do that. We should go and to reach the nations. Okay? And that's part of our vision. And I really believe this year, God is building into us. He's almost shaping and coaching us into certain areas, and I believe next year this must be a lot more our focus. And it's not just something I want to say with my mind or understanding something I've worked out or something logical or something like that. I really believe if you ask the people with us, we have so many words of new wine in new wineskins and about certain groups of people that the Lord wants to add to us. I believe we are here already. And I believe the Lord wants to add to us for His glory. Okay? Now, if we just look a little bit here in Acts 1 verse 8, and I believe we're still going to minister a lot in the weeks to come, especially on Acts and what's happening there and the messages. I mean, that's where the church has been birthed. And remember, we live in the time of the church. We live in the time of the church. And we're going to have a look a lot at that. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, maybe the end of the earth to those writers were places like Windhoek. I think Windhoek is far quite away from the writers in Acts, but it's for us as well. Okay, this message is for us as well. And something that's really important to me, especially where I come from as in my walk with the Lord, we aren't born Christians. We aren't born Christian or Spirit-filled Christians. That little baby that we dedicated this morning, that little baby is not yet, I mean, he's about 4 or 5 months old, but he's not a born-again Spirit-filled Christian. Sometime in his life, he's got to hear the message. He's got to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? And then he's got to respond to that. And then he's got to say yes to that. And then we believe and we say, speak it over his life, that he needs to be, that he needs to make that commitment to the Lord, and that he needs to be born again and Spirit-filled. Okay? And as we see right there, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we will also receive power. I'll share with you. I remember way back in 2000, and that was about 2006. Many of you will know Pastor Sias LeRoux from Stellenbosch in our church there. He's the captain of all our missions, I want to say. And I remember he phoned me one Friday afternoon and he told me, will you be willing to preach at one of the races? Now, there's a university at Stellenbosch. There's a lot of different races where young people stay or students stay. And he asked me, will you be willing on that Sunday morning to preach there at that race? And I thought, like, well, obviously I said yes. I mean, I won't say no. But it was, for me, it was like a big thing, a really big thing. And I was like scared because I wasn't that much older than the students in a sense. But I know, in the natural, I wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, what must I say? How should I preach? I mean, no one has ever taught me how to preach. But I know standing on a scripture like this gives us all the confidence, because we have the Holy Spirit. And I went there, and I spoke to my wife, and I started praying. And you know, that morning, I went there, and I preached the message. I still remember it was from Daniel, the book of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fire, and everything, and people that need to stand up for God in a time like that. And you know, a few people committed their hearts. Young people raised their hands, and they said they want to be born again. And that was a big testimony to me, just for me in my own life, that God can actually use someone, in my opinion at that stage, that's kind of, you know, I don't want to say useless, but that's not the right word, but someone that's never preached before. Okay, and here we see like someone like Peter, here writing the book of Acts after Pentecost, standing up, preaching one massive, massive sermon. And that's always so inspiring. I'm looking at him, and I believe every one of you, and I want to encourage especially you young people sitting here this morning. Many of you will go back to different places in Namibia after the exams are finished, and don't think for one moment that your testimony or what the Lord has been doing in your life aren't important or aren't powerful. At any given time, there can be an opportunity where you can stand up and preach the gospel. You don't have to tell people, I'm a preacher, I'm a prophet, or anything like that. You can just speak the truth. Okay, we've got scripture. You can just quote scripture just from the book of Acts. Just starting to share with people. Maybe your younger brother or sister. Maybe a parent that... Maybe there's an open door at some time where people are really desperate or without hope or anything. And then you can say, but you know what? And I know, we've over the years prayed with many of you guys, baptized many of you guys. And I know you've got the Holy Spirit inside. Okay, and you can stand up and you can speak the truth in love. You can minister. You can lay your hands on people. It's not just for the elders or the pastors or older people or some people. It's for all of us. And that is really exciting. And I'll say something, but I'm thanking God in my heart for everything He's doing. And I'm looking forward to one day. You know, that we are 250 and 300 and 400 and 500 people. You know, because every day I just want to say out loud in public, praise God for what He was doing in His church. Jesus is building His church. It isn't us. And the thing is, but He can use us. We are living stones, and I know that we have received the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage us as a church that we stir something here. Almost like Paul saying to Timothy that he needs to stir up that gift. I want to encourage us, guys, let's read Acts, let's study Acts, let's live life as in Acts, okay? When there's people that need healing, and I'm talking to myself here, this is a big challenge, nah? Because these things, as I said, it wasn't just for back then and there, it's for us in the here and the now. And that's challenging, but that's very, very exciting. And just to take one step backwards, again, I'm going to start to end off by reading another scripture to you. The next slide, if you have a look in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Then in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake. And we will see many scriptures. We will see here in Acts 2, verse 17 as well. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And the exciting thing is we see here at three places, and there's many more in Scripture, that it talks about the last times or the end times, the last days. And we live in those days, and unfortunately, the devil is always trying to throw get something wrong or twisted or mixed up. And many times you'll hear people that saying, but the Lord will come back in August this year or in March this year and anything, but that's not from the Lord. We know from Scripture, Jesus said He'll come back like a thief in the night, just meaning it will be unexpected. We won't know when it's going to happen. But friends, just to look back and to recap a little bit, okay? We had those silent times. I mean, and before that, we had the Lord raised up Moses, and He led the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. We had a guy like Joshua that took them into the promised land. We had a king like King David that really expanded the kingdom. We had Solomon and many other prophets. We had all the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament. Then we see that silent time, that time, that 400 years that was really quiet. It was like hot and dry in a sense. And then we see the prophecy of John the Baptist being fulfilled. And we see His ministry happening. And then after that, we see Jesus Christ coming. Okay, and after Jesus Christ, He said, I'm going to leave you now, but I'm giving the job over to you guys here. That's like in Acts, it's the only place where you find what actually all the apostles did all the time, all their journeys, what they did, where they traveled to. So it's important that we know, ending off with the end times, there will come an end to the way we know life right now. And we know from Scripture that at the end of the end will be tough times. But it will also be a glorious time, Scripture says. It will always also be a time where God will raise up His true church, and where we will really see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, here as it was prophesied in Joel. You know, that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And I believe we are a testimony of that. That every person that got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you see them praying in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit, growing, doing things that hasn't been done before, that's a testimony. That's a testimony that we still live in this time, and it's going to come to an end. And that means right here, right now, we as a church, we need to operate in this. So all the other kiddies church are important, the praise and worship team are important, the elders are important, small groups are important, all those things are. But I sense in my heart, friends, that we need to put on the hat of Acts, if I can put it that way. That we need to build ourselves up more, and that we need to ask the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be like Peter, or I want to be like Paul. And the thing is that we can do that. If you go and look on YouTube, you'll find 10 or 11-year-old young men preaching the gospel. And that's not because they've studied for 30 years. That's because they're filled of the Holy Spirit. And that they can stand up and that they can preach real good. And that people can be, people's lives can be touched. So I really trust for us that this is where the Lord wants us, especially from now onwards. Now I know the year's ending and things are slowing down, but I really trust that we need to start next year at this spot, at this place, almost sitting there in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, except that it already came and it's available for us and it's there for us, and that we just need to say yes, because many times you are spirit-filled and you have been baptized and you have everything that it takes. But the thing is, we can say no to the working of the Holy Spirit as well. We can. God, many times the Lord will lay something on our hearts and we will say, maybe not now, Lord, or maybe not me, Lord. You know, I've seen it. Sometimes there's a word in your heart. I've seen it in my own life that I feel I need to say this or share that, and then I don't do it. And then someone else comes and they say or share exactly that same thing. Or we'll see many times in our small group when we prayed for some of the men and where it were a tough time or something, you know that I know I'm going to pray now after this guy and I have something in my heart. And then the person exactly before me are praying the same thing. Then we know the Holy Spirit are showing us the same thing for that person, because God wants that person to know something, because He wants to do something with that person. Okay, so I want to say again to especially you young guys and the older people, but especially you younger people, you aren't numbers. God has given a name to each one of you, and He's got a purpose for you. You've got value, okay? And God is wanting to use you wherever you are, whether it's at school or at home in the holiday. Don't think you are too young, or don't think, I don't know enough yet or anything. Sometimes in the most simplistic ways, God speaks to us the most wonderful things. Okay, so church, this is my heart right now. And as I said, I've been seeing the past months, and especially the last while in intercession, something building up, something exciting, something, if I were to give the other people attending opportunity to testify, I believe they'll say the same, that God is bringing us and He's stirring something, and I believe He wants to move more powerfully through us. And we just need to open our hearts. We need to say yes, that we aren't caught up in whatever it is that is distracting us. Amen. Father, we want to thank You this morning, Lord, that we live in the time of the church, Lord God, that whatever we see in the Gospels or in the book of Acts, Lord, that nowhere in Scripture it says that this time is finished. It was only for Peter and for John and for Paul and those guys, or Timothy, Lord. But thank You, Lord, that it's for us here right now, Lord, and that You want to use us powerfully, Lord. And I trust, Lord God, that you'll stir us as a church, Lord God, that You'll really lift us up, Lord God, and Father, that we can be like a powerful sword in Your hand, Lord God, that we can preach the gospel, Lord God, that we can lay hands on the sick, Lord God, that we can trust for people to be born again and spirit-filled, Lord God, that we can not here and there baptize one or two people, but 5 and 10 and 20, Lord God, that we will see Your kingdom come here in Windhoek and in Namibia, Lord. And I trust, Lord, that if You want us to go on 4, 5, or 6 missions next year, Lord God, that we will be open to it, Lord. I trust that You'll give us people to partner, Lord God, people that You want to send us to, Lord God. And thank You for the way You have cared for us, the way that You have kept us and protected us, Lord. And yes, Lord, I trust for every one of us, Lord God, that we will almost, in a sense, like jump into the river of Acts, Lord God, that we can just acknowledge that we are spiritful beings, Lord God, that we aren't dead anymore, Father, but we are made alive, Lord God. And I want to thank you this morning, Father, for the privilege, Lord. We know there's been centuries and times, Lord God, that people didn't have the privileges that we have right now, Lord God, that they had to go to the temple to worship there, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that we are now your temples, Lord God, that we can worship wherever we are, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit 24/7, and that we have access to that, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll come, Lord, and through us as leadership, Lord, and through intercession, Lord, that you will show us, Lord, step by step, where you want to take us as a church, Lord. And Lord, we just want to say that we want to go where you will want to take us, Lord, and that you can use us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just if you can just keep your eyes closed for one more moment. If there's anyone here this morning and you haven't made that commitment, as I said before, none of us are born Christians. Somewhere in our lives, we need to hear the gospel and we need to respond to that. We need to say yes. So if there's anyone here in the house this morning and you haven't made a commitment, if you feel you don't stand in relationship with Jesus Christ yet, I want to ask you to raise your hand. And I would like to pray with you. I want to share with you, and we just want to ask. Yeah, I believe then anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So those people that are raising your hands right now, I'm going to ask you a bold thing after this. Just to come forward and we want to pray a prayer with you guys. And just make sure that you stand in that relationship. And then secondly, if there's anyone here and you aren't sure, maybe you feel you're a bit like the disciples of John. You are kind of following, but you haven't made the commitment yet. You haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. If there's anyone like that here, I want you to also raise your hand. Is there anyone that feels they are like that second group, those disciples of John, where you haven't been experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit all the way? Then I also want to call you forward and to come stand next to me. And we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray. And Scripture says that when the son asks the father for bread or for food, he won't give him a snake or a stone or a serpent or something. God wants to give it to you. He wants to bless you, and then he wants to use you. Amen. So those guys, those young people that has raised your hands, please come stand next to me. We really want to pray with you. Then the rest of the guys, you must have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Have spent some good time with the family. Relax a little bit. It's hot. Go and sleep or do something nice. And hopefully we'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place. I can maybe just say David Rasant, David, he will be preaching, and it will be his last Sunday preaching here before he's leaving for Canada. And I really want you to come, and we want to send him from here, and I want to invite you guys to come and spend that special morning with us. So those young people that has raised your hands, please come and stand here. We want to pray for you right now. And the rest of you guys, have a wonderful Sunday. Amen.